I don't want to confuse you by the first PowerPoint slide. This is a reminder of what we saw last week. We looked into Joshua 1 last week. The sermon was, "Now therefore arise," and we addressed reaching the next generation and what God wanted in regards to preparing the next generation for service. And I believe that God is taking our church into a period of time where we're focusing on reaching others. And thus you can see with the new banners and the new bulletins to remind us that God has called us to follow Him and be fishers of men. Well, this morning God has brought us to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to title the sermon, "How Shall They Hear?" Or "How Then Shall They Hear?" And I want to begin reading in verse number 13 of Romans. Verse number 13, we're going to read through verse 17. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Aren't you glad for that? Verse 14, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Father, we want to thank You for the truth of Your Word, and I ask this morning, Lord, that You would just guard my stammering tongue and make me simply the vessel through which You flow, Lord, please. I want to be that vessel through which You flow unimpeded. So, Lord, would You just simply take my heart and my mind and my voice, and Lord, would You turn it into Your own and speak through me the very words, not to be added to or taken away by me, but Lord, the very words that You would have spoken. Lord, may Your Holy Spirit do His work this morning. Lord, I pray that we would get a hold of the message of this passage and see the importance, Lord, of being that messenger, that preacher that You've sent us to be to this lost, dying world. And Father, if there is someone here this morning who has never placed their faith in Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that they would see today, thus even this morning, let them see their need for salvation. And Father, we ask that Your Holy Spirit will have freedom to move and to work, and that Satan and his spirits, Lord, would have no freedom this morning, or not even be allowed to be here, but Lord, would You keep them from this place? Keep all distractions from our hearts and minds, and let us focus upon what You have for us, I pray. Lord, all across here, from one side to the other, I see precious souls for whom Jesus died. Lord, You came to give us eternal life. Jesus died in our place. And Lord, You want us to have life and to have it more abundantly. So, Father, I pray that we would understand that we would follow You, that we would, Lord, live life more abundantly as You intend us to. Lord, we're not talking about material blessings. We're not talking about possessions. Lord, we are talking about living a life that is producing the righteous fruit that You want us to produce as we represent You. Help us, Father, to live an abundant life for Jesus Christ, and to be a testimony to those around us. Help us, Lord, not to follow the deception of sin and the world and the devil, as he would cause us to believe, Lord, that the things of this earth have much to give us, Lord, that they can satisfy our souls. Lord, it is a lie, it's deceptive, and help us not to fall into that. Lord, to be able to see better and clearer than that. Lord, to be led by Your Holy Spirit and to surrender to You completely and live a life the way You intended for us to live. And Father, we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to draw seven lessons from these verses this morning, beginning in verse number 13. Look at that verse with me again. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The first lesson I want us to understand this morning is salvation is available to everyone. That's quite the promise, isn't it? Are you all with me this morning? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know who that includes? Everyone. It includes you. It includes me. And praise God, I have taken advantage of that promise. And I have trusted Jesus Christ to be my Savior. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it says this, "And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Jesus Christ died to take your sin, my friend. And He paid for it on the cross, and He paid for the sins of the whole world. And because of that, He offers salvation to whomsoever who will believe in Him. In John chapter 6 and verse 44, the Bible says this, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." I want us to note this, that even though salvation is available to everyone, salvation can only happen when the Holy Spirit is convicting. And if God is speaking to you and letting you know that there is an emptiness inside of your heart, and that emptiness can only be filled by Jesus Christ who died for your sin, then God is speaking to you and the Holy Spirit is convicting, and you need to yield. Bible says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." Salvation can happen, but it cannot be through human manipulation. We sometimes think that we can just get somebody to pray a prayer, and if we can get them to pray a prayer, that they're going to be saved. And I got to tell you this, that there has to be Holy Spirit conviction. There has to be. John 16:8 says this, "And when He has come," speaking of the Holy Spirit, it says, "He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." It is through the speaking of the Holy Spirit as He reproves the world and He convicts us of our sin, the need for righteousness, and the coming judgment that we can then understand our need for salvation. Sometimes I like to say it this way. Some people need to get lost before they can get saved. There are people that walk on the face of this earth that think that they're good enough to get to heaven by their own works. They think that their good works outweigh their bad works. They think that when they get to heaven, surely God's going to let them in. Now, I've heard this before, and we may find this a little humorous, but somebody told me one time, "But my grandmother was a preacher." Well, I'm glad your grandmother was a preacher. I'm not sure who she preached to, but that doesn't save your soul. Each one of us is a sinner. And Jesus took that sin, and when He hung on the cross, He paid for our sin. You and I will never understand as was pointed out this morning in Sunday school, you and I will never understand the impact and the depth of the wrath of God that was meant for you as a sinner that was placed upon Jesus Christ. We'll never understand that. And I thank God that I will never have to experience that because I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit must work. It must work within man to help them understand their need for salvation. But that salvation is available to everyone who will call upon Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Jesus Christ wants to see every man saved. And then we look at the next verse. Look at verse number 14 with me. Verse 14 is just packed full of truths. And this message this morning is going to be pretty simple, but I hope we really grasp the truth that's in these verses this morning. It says this, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" The next thing I want us to see this morning is that first phrase of verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? The gospel must be believed. And you can see what the Apostle Paul is doing here. He's kind of working his way backward, and he's getting back to the starting point, and so he's making this backward progression. And he says salvation's available to everyone, but in order to have it, it must be believed. Now in verse 17, he says this, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And so the idea of believing in verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" That's the same idea as faith in verse 17. So you get the concept here. So the gospel must be believed. Go with me to Acts chapter 3. We're going to bounce around a little bit. Go to Acts chapter 3. We're going to look at a few verses of scripture and see where this point is proven by God in more places than one. In Acts chapter 3, we're going to begin reading in verse number 22. And what's going on here is this is the healing of the lame man, where Peter and John are on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. And the lame man is looking, asking for alms. And this is where Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And the man begins to jump and leap and praise God. And then what Peter does is what any good Baptist preacher would do. He sees a crowd gathering, and so he starts to preach. And he's preaching, and then he gets to verse number 22, and he says this, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me." He's talking about Jesus Christ. This is a prophecy about Christ. And Peter is quoting what Moses said about the coming of Christ. He says this, "Like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." So when he comes, you need to listen. Verse 23, "And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Do you see that? That's pretty harsh, isn't it? Listen, verse 23 is the destiny of all those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. Now, there's more to go as we work our way through this passage in Romans chapter 10. But this prophecy makes it very clear. This is the same idea of verse in John 3, which we'll get to in a minute. Now jump down to verse 24 here with me. Acts 3, verse 24. "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." He's talking to Jews here. And he says in verse number 25, "God promised to Abraham that through his seed all the earth will be blessed." Now this is a huge promise given to Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter 22. Now look at verse 26 here, and let's see how Peter applies that prophecy. He says, verse 26, "Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you." There's the blessing that was promised in verse 25, all the way back in Genesis 22. But here's how it works its way out. "In turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Do you see that? This is the promise that God made to Abraham all the way back in Genesis 22. He says, "Through you, Abraham, all the world is going to be blessed." And Moses makes the prophecy here that there's going to come another prophet like unto him. It all refers to Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe that prophet, then you're going to be destroyed. But it is a blessing that is offered to everyone. So you must accept it. And that blessing is that he will turn you away from your iniquities. The promise of Genesis 22 that all the world would be blessed was fulfilled in Jesus Christ when he died on the cross and gave you the opportunity to accept him, because he paid for your sin and you don't have to pay for it anymore. But you have to place your faith in that. You have to believe in that. It's available to everyone. Go with me to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we have the story of Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. You're probably familiar with that story. And then we get to verse 16, which is one of the most quoted verses in Scripture. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Verse 18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Praise God for that. "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Listen, we are born sinners. We are condemned without Jesus Christ. And we, if we do nothing, if we never accept Christ, if we never pay attention to the message of the gospel, if we do nothing in regards to Jesus, we're on our way to hell. That is very plain, and it's given to us in Scripture. I've already showed you two passages that teach us that truth. We must believe the gospel if we want to have our sins forgiven and escape the punishment of hell. God loved us enough to come to earth in the form of Jesus Christ and to die in our place. But that is a personal faith that you must place in Jesus Christ. Go back with me to Romans chapter 10, please. Romans chapter 10. It says in verse 14, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed?" The next phrase, "And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard?" In order for them to believe, they need to hear. People must hear the gospel before they can believe it. You may say, "That's pretty simple, Pastor York." It is. We're just working our way through this passage. People have to hear the gospel before they can believe it, right? Do you all understand the ramifications of that? This is important to God. I dare say that it's more important to God sometimes than it is to us. As a matter of fact, I dare say that it's more important to God most of the time than it is to us. Do you all remember the story in Isaiah chapter 6? In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah meets God face to face. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And there He was sitting on His throne." And as Isaiah is face to face with God, God asks this question. God said, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Isaiah responds to God and says this, "Here am I, send me." God then responds back to Isaiah and says, "Go and tell this people." And He tells him what to say. And Isaiah then turns back to God and says, "God, how long do I need to do this?" And then God answers and says this, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." Isaiah, I'm telling you, as long as there are people to hear the message that I've given you, you are to preach it. People need to hear it. People must hear the gospel in order to believe it. There's a verse in Ezekiel 22. We don't need to turn there. I'm just going to read it to you. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, the Bible says this. God is speaking and He says, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Let's understand this morning that God always seeks for a man. And that is a term they're applying to mankind. So it would be a man or a woman. God always seeks for a man to carry His message. He did back in Ezekiel. And today it's no different. God needs individuals who are willing to preach the gospel. And we'll talk about that word preach in just a moment. But go back with me to Romans 10. Look at verse number 14. He says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Let me bring up the next point. Someone's got to be willing to tell them. Someone has got to be willing to tell others about Jesus Christ. Now, the word here at the end of verse 14, preacher, is not the word that you would think in regards to pastor. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about a pastor or someone that's in full-time ministry. The word simply means this: to publish or to proclaim with authority. That's the idea behind this word. And here is what this means. How can they hear it if there's not someone who is willing to proclaim the truth and to do it with the authority of the gospel with them? Go with me to Luke 24. Keep a finger here because we're going to come back, of course. But go to Luke 24, the last chapter of the book of Luke. And we're going to begin reading in verse 45. So we're right near the end of the book of Luke. Jesus is about to depart from this world. And beginning in verse number 45, it says this: Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now let's go back and work through this a little bit. Verse number 46, Christ suffered, and he raised up from the dead. And in verse 47, we need to preach the repentance and remission of sins in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, we know that they did that. We know that there was a church started in Jerusalem. It was birthed on the day of Pentecost, and that Jerusalem church then began to grow. God told them to scatter and to preach the gospel. They were a little hesitant, and so God sent persecution. They spread out, and churches began to be established throughout the area. One of them began to really take off, the Church of Antioch. And that Church of Antioch began to have many converts, begin to grow. And so God took some of the people from Antioch, sent them out as missionaries. And wherever these people went, they preached the gospel. In Acts chapter 8, it tells us that those that were persecuted went everywhere talking about the gospel. They were not apostles. They were not called to full-time ministry. They were not necessarily pastors. These were people who were changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they were new creatures, and they couldn't keep their mouth shut about it. They talked about God wherever they went. And as a result of that, churches began to be planted throughout that whole area. And these churches, and when we read through the Bible, through the book of Acts and through the New Testament, we see that there are churches that are in houses. They were small churches. There were churches that were large that had several pastors that worked within that church. They ranked all different sizes. And you just get this sense that throughout that whole region, there were churches that had popped up all over the place. I got to tell you, it reminds me of America. There are churches scattered throughout America that may have 30, 40 people in them. There are churches scattered throughout America that may have 500, 600 people. There are churches scattered throughout this country like this one that would rate around 100 folks that gather on Sundays. But they just had these churches scattered throughout, and they were preaching the truth. Eventually, they had problems and error crept in, and God wrote the New Testament to give us good, sound doctrine. And doctrine is so important to staying true to God's Word. But here's the point. Someone had to be willing to go and to tell. And we have that command given to us in this passage right in front of us in Luke 24, that we need to preach in the name of Jesus among all nations. That's a little overwhelming, isn't it? But it is our responsibility. Now, God gives us the pattern on how to do that. There are some people that travel, like we have posted on this back wall back here, the missionaries that we support. We're going to go to Nicaragua in August, visit one of our missionaries down there who's preaching the gospel, seeing souls saved, seeing churches planted. My wife and I are going to be able to go over to Kenya in the month of May and visit our family over there. We've got a grandchild that we've not met yet who was born over there in Kenya. And we want to get over there and see her and just be an encouragement to our missionaries that are over there. Thank God for these people that are willing to travel. Brother Marzouk in Egypt, the Bloyds in Italy, the Rays in Laos. And even within our own country, we thank God for the Becks who are willing to plant a church in Montana and stick with it through the ups and downs just to see our own nation brought back to Jesus Christ. But people have to be willing to go. And you and I have to be willing to tell. God may never call you to the foreign field, but God certainly has called you to talk about Him. God has certainly called you to be a preacher in the light, in the sense of this passage here. But here's the really good part about that. God didn't send you to do it all by yourself. It says in verse 49, "Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." That promise of the Father gives us power. Go with me to Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1. Look at verse number 8. Again, a familiar passage for us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That power is the promise of the Father. You back up to verse number 4, and he tells them to wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. And as that Holy Spirit came and empowered them, they began to preach the gospel. And that gospel spread throughout the region. Listen. That word preacher back in Romans 10. Why don't you just go back there with me, please? Romans 10. That word preacher back there in Romans 10 means to publish the word with authority. My friend, you have the authority. You have the gospel, the eternal gospel, in your hands. You have the eternal Holy Spirit indwelling you. That is the promise of the Father. That is the power by which you have the authority to share the gospel. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the power of the gospel. You have the authority from our Savior. Now you need to share it. I like the way that Lynn Bali prays sometimes when we pray about on Saturday nights when we meet for men's prayer meeting. He'll say something like this. In his prayer, he'll say, "God, somebody told us we should be telling others. Somebody took time to share the gospel with you, right? And those of you who accepted Christ as your Savior, somebody took the time and the interest to invest in you." Now, there may be people in here that say, "But if I could just do miracles like the apostles, you know, like Peter and Paul, if I could just do that kind of thing, then I could get people's attention." You know what? Peter and Paul did do great miracles for sure. It was all part of God's plan as the New Testament was being written. God used those miracles to confirm who His men were and what the message of the gospel was. We don't have those anymore because now we have the printed Word of God and we have sound doctrine that guides us and leads us. But I'm telling you what, Peter and Paul did great things, but they also died a martyr's death doing it. So be careful. It has never been easier in the history of the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ than it is today. Do you realize that? God has given us so much to be thankful for. He's given us so many conveniences. God has given us so many ways to share the gospel. It's never been easier. We have the gospel in printed form, a little pamphlet that we often refer to as the gospel tract. That little blue track in there, we have a few back there written from a few different perspectives. You can actually hand somebody a written track and say, "This is the gospel that tells you how you know you can go to heaven. Would you take time to read it?" We have it so easy today. That doesn't excuse us talking to people. We need to do that too. But it is so easy today to be able to share the gospel. You and I don't get thrown into jail for sharing the gospel, do we? You and I don't get our heads cut off for sharing the gospel, do we? throughout a lot of time that has happened. You and I don't get drowned or burned at the stake for sharing the gospel, do we? Some of our forefathers went through those things. But they loved the Lord so much that they talked about Him. They couldn't help it. Go back with me to Romans chapter 10 and look at verse number 15, please. Romans 10 verse 15 says this, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" The messenger must be sent by God. Continuing on, it says, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You know, why don't you just go with me to Mark 16? Let's do that. Let's just, rather than me read it to you, let's look at it. Mark 16, I want to look at verse number 15, please. Mark 16 is the last chapter of the book of Mark. Verse number 15 says this, "He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You have the greatest commission the world has ever received. You have the privilege of carrying the eternal gospel to those who are dying and on their way to hell. You are sent by God with a message that is divine. Now notice here the way that I worded this, the messenger must be sent by God. Let me say this. You are sent by God. False religions are not. Now they may be sent, but they're not sent by God. There are some false religions that have a greater drive for sharing their false beliefs than oftentimes God's people do for sharing the truth of the gospel. We have a commission that is the greatest commission that this world has ever seen. I like the way Brother D'Oyly puts it sometimes. If the President of the United States were to call and ask, "Would you be willing to do this?" we would consider that an honor, wouldn't we? But when God Himself says, "Go and preach the gospel," we find excuses sometimes. You know, God has this way of putting it here in Romans 10, 15. "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." That's God's opinion of His messengers. It's a quote from Isaiah 52, verse 7, and it's taken from the context of the millennial kingdom, but it is such a neat phrase that Paul borrows from that and applies it here to the preaching of the eternal gospel. And that's God's opinion of His messengers. Listen, I have never been told that I have beautiful feet except by God. And by God's grace, you will never see them to be able to comment on them. But God's opinion is that when we use our feet to carry the gospel, in His mind, that's beautiful. Listen, in Scripture, oftentimes our hands speak of our actions, you know, or the things that we do from day to day. And our feet often speak of our direction in life. So when the Bible talks about our feet, oftentimes it has to do with our overall vision, our course of action, the course that we set for our lives, the paths that we take in our lives. And so what He is saying here is He's using our feet to describe the way that we share the gospel. And the idea is this: we need to develop an overall vision, a course of action for sharing the gospel. It needs to become a part of who we are, so that no matter where we go, we have this goal or this thought that I represent God. I'm carrying the truth that can keep you out of hell. It should become a part of our overall course of action for our lives, the overall direction and the vision that we set for ourselves. Do you all remember that one part of the armor of God that is given to us in Ephesians 6:15 is regarding our feet? It says this, "And have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Be prepared. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be prepared to share the gospel wherever you go. Now, I want you to notice in the verse that I just read to you, Ephesians 6:15, and right here in Romans 10:15, it refers to the gospel of peace. Do you notice the way that it says that? Gospel of peace. When people are searching for peace, Christian, you have the answer. You have the answer. And nothing else will satisfy. To share the gospel is to give the message of forgiveness of sin and eternal life, and only that can bring peace to a person's heart and life. True peace cannot be had without it. It is beautiful to see a person place their faith in Jesus and have their sins forgiven. If you've ever had the privilege of leading a person to the Lord and seeing that relief and that peace that comes with having that burden lifted off of their shoulders, that their sin is gone, it's been taken away, they've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've ever had the experience of leading a person to Christ and seeing that in their face and their eyes, you will never forget it. That gospel of peace. A little while back, I told of a lady. It's been a few weeks now. I think it was in Sunday school. I was telling about a Bulgarian lady that dropped by here by the name of Emra. Emra came and buzzed the door and came in the middle of the day. And I was in a meeting with Daniel and Daniel. By the way, it's kind of a prerequisite to work here. If you're a man, your name has to be Daniel. So, Brother Reuben, I'm looking at you for the next, okay? Yeah. But we were in a meeting, and this lady came to the door, and Mimi comes in and says, there's a lady here that wants to talk to the pastor. She wants prayer. And so we took some time to meet with her. I didn't know her. We had never met her before, so Mimi came in with her. And she came in and she sat across the desk from me and we were talking. And the way that she found us was she typed in something like church, pastor, prayer, something like that. And she found Brentwood Baptist Church. And so she comes here. And this lady was burdened. And she knew that she was a sinner, and she made the comment to me as we began to share. I began to share the gospel with her. And by the way, she barely can squeak out a few words of English. She would literally take a picture of the passage of scripture. As we went through verses of scripture, she would take a picture of it and then have her phone translate that into the Bulgarian so that she could read it. And she had this burden about her, and this is the way she said it. She said, God has a line for us to walk. We as humans have a line that we walk. I'm walking human line, not God's line. And I wanted to ask her questions to see if she really understood the burden of her sin. And she understood that she was a sinner on her way to hell. She understood that. And when she prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save her, she looked up and she said, I'm so happy. And that burden was lifted. She left here a different person than she walked in. We may never see her again this side of heaven. But when we get to heaven, I expect to see Emra up there. And who knows who else that Emra has led to the Lord since then. But those of you who have been praying for God to send us people who are searching for peace, God answered that prayer that day and you played a part in that lady's salvation. I thank you all for praying that prayer. Those of you who take time to pray that prayer, who come out on Wednesday nights and will pray that prayer, or those of you that will open the bulletin and see it and will pray, I thank you for that. Those of you that show up on Saturday night and pray for these things, I thank you for it. And I'm bringing her up just to tell you that there are times where God just leads us people that we may never see them before or after, but God brought that lady here because she needed peace in her heart and she understood that she needed a Savior. And God brought her here and gave her the gospel of peace. Look at verse 16 with me, please. In verse number 16, it says this, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Well, To believe the gospel is an act of obedience. Isaiah tells us here that not everybody's going to believe. We understand that. In 2 Thessalonians 1:18, the Bible says this, talking about the coming of Jesus Christ, it says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." To hear the gospel is, and to accept it, is an act of obedience. Like we stated in Sunday school, the gospel is not a suggestion. The gospel is not, you know what, if you want to do this, here it is. No, the gospel is a directive from God that must be obeyed if we want to have eternal life. And if we do not obey the gospel, we suffer the consequences of our own sin. Now, let me point something out to you here this morning, church, and ask you this question. Do you see the importance of the preacher, messenger that's talked about here in this passage? Do you see the importance of this? Paul is making it possible, or let me say it this way, the preacher in this passage, which could be any of us in this room, is making it possible for the hearer to be obedient to God. And if we do not tell them, how can they be obedient? God tells us that not everyone's going to obey. It's not our job to force people to believe the gospel. We can't do that. We're not the Holy Spirit. Our job is to be faithful as a messenger. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. Your part and my part is to be faithful in telling the gospel. And then it's up to the individual to be obedient. But how can they believe if they don't hear? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? Look at verse number 17, please. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The gospel is from the word of God. It is a divine source. It is not the creation of man, and it is not my cleverness. It eliminates any man-made gospel. It eliminates any man-made tactics. You're just the messenger. God has already established the message. The gospel is the word of God. It is a divine source. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That takes a lot of pressure off of you and me. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When you share the gospel with an individual, you need to take them to God's word. Take them to God's word. We are going to have some classes here within the next few weeks just to teach us how to share the gospel. We have gospel tracts back there that you can take and that you can read and familiarize yourself. God has given us the message. God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit. We just need to be faithful. You know, I was thinking about this as I was preparing this morning. You can tell what a person loves by the conversations that they carry on, right? Those who love sports love to talk about sports. Those who love music love to talk about their music. Car fanatics love to talk about cars. Computer geeks love to talk about computers. Those who really love our Lord, they love to talk about our Lord. And it shows. You know what? We have a commission. We have a responsibility. We have the power of the gospel. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God's command. And we have a dying world before us. We're going to reach out into our community, and we're doing everything that we can to make it possible for our church family to be comfortable in sharing the gospel. Not everyone's going to be able to do everything. We're going to do door hangers next Saturday. There's a whole bunch of people in this room who could come and give us an hour and a half to walk some blocks and hang some door hangers up on doors. You don't have to talk to anybody. You're just going to hang it up on the door. If somebody's there, yeah, you should probably engage them. There are people who can come and do that. There are some people who are at the age or have difficulty walking. They may be at an age where they can't walk a couple blocks, but they can be here tonight and they can help us stuff the bags, right? We all can play a part. This Sunday afternoon, we've got some men that are meeting. Is it at 3 o'clock? Is that right, Daniel? At 3 o'clock, we've got some men that are meeting that are going to go out door to door. And they're going to knock on doors and try to share the gospel with people and invite them to church. Some of you would be able to be here and be a part of that. We're presently working on a prayer ministry to reach those who desire prayer. We have on our website a place where if you want to pray, want us to pray for you, you can click on that and type in your request, and then we can pray for you. And we see that as an opportunity to outreach, or to reach out and to be a testimony to other people. But we need people who are willing to accept those prayer requests and to pray for the people as they've asked, and to pray that God will bring them here so that they can hear the truth of the gospel. There's multiple ways where that we can all get involved in reaching the people around us. A couple weeks ago, I had the ushers just give everybody a gospel track and ask you to just give that away that week. You can do that this week. You can take a track or two or three or a dozen or 15 or 20. And as you talk to different people, you can give them to them with a smile and tell them that this is from the Bible and it can tell you how you can know your sins are forgiven and that you can have eternal life. But we all need to be doing something. Not just sitting still, or not just coming in and soaking it in on a Sunday morning and then going home and not doing anything throughout the week. Please be involved. Please help us reach the world around us. And would you come tonight and help us stuff these bags and come next Saturday and be a part of our efforts to reach out into our community.